So we're in our series on the Beatitudes, finding hope in the Beatitudes. And it's amazing how rich every one of them is. As I was studying this week on the topic of meekness, the title of the message, a little different, does meekness reek of weakness? And in our culture, a lot of people think that someone who is meek is weak. But that's not what the Bible teaches, especially when it's spiritual meekness. And that's what we're going to be talking about here today. So we're in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 5, verse 5, just 10 words in that one verse that we'll be focusing on today. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. So when we think about meekness, is that a part of the American dream that we're hearing about around us? Do people say, yeah, you ought to be meek? If you're not, do it. It's not something that our people do very much at all. And a lot of them consider it to be weakness. Heard a kind of funny story, a true story, about a trucker who was traveling on his work, and he ended up stopping at a restaurant, and he pulled into there, got out, obviously very hungry, so he went in and he ordered this big steak, and the waitress brought that out and put it on his table. And about that time, there were four ruffian motorcyclists who also drove up to the restaurant. They came inside, they saw this steak that this guy had, and they went up to him, roughed him up a little bit, talked a lot of junk to him, took his steak away, cut it into four pieces, and they ate it. Each of them, one of those pieces of that man's steak. Now, what was amazing during that time is the trucker did not oppose them, did not say a word while they were doing that. And after his steak was taken away, he walked up to the cashier and he paid for his bill, walked out the door, left. It's crazy, isn't it? And the motorcycle ruffians that were watching all this, they were just laughing and talking about him, gloating about what they had done. And one of them said, he didn't lift his hand or say a word. He wasn't much of a man, was he? And meanwhile, you can imagine what the waitress is thinking as she's watching all this going on. And she goes over, looks out the window, and says this, you know, he's not much of a driver either. He just backed over four motorcycles out in the parking lot. Oh, crazy. So we love to talk about how somebody always looks out for themselves. Number one, and this word translated meek in the English is a beautiful and powerful Christian quality that all of us should pursue along the way. It is a byproduct of following Jesus. If Christ is in our life and he is reproducing himself in and through us, meekness will be a byproduct of the way we live. Other synonyms of that word meek, we could use the word gentleness. We can use the word humility. Those are also references to this word. So again, the word isn't used a lot in our culture, but be thinking about the words gentleness and humility. And let me tell you what being meek is not. It's not being a wimp, okay? That's not what that word means. If you thought that, you know what you would have to say? That Jesus was a wimp. But he wasn't. He was the most courageous individual ever on this planet Earth. And the spiritually meek person is not indecisive. He or she is not a doormat for everybody to walk over. He or she is strong. So I want you to think about that quality. Meekness is strength. And it's also not just having this pleasing personality that people like being around. Some people think of that when they think of the word meek. Well, that's just a nice person, somebody easy to spend time with. When we are born physically, we are born with a certain type of personality that God has given us along the way. And as we grow and live, we want to develop good people skills. Those are good things to have. But does that mean that if they have done that, that they are automatically spiritually meek? No. Meekness is not natural. It is supernatural. Again, it's a byproduct of having Christ living in us, the Holy Spirit working in us and through us along the way. It's not a physical heritage. It is a spiritual heritage, something that we get from God. Why? Because we walk closely with Jesus Christ. So let's look together at what meekness is. Meekness is strength under control, the control of God, the control of the Holy Spirit. It's not just unbridled power. It's not craziness. It's not motorcycle guys coming in and stealing a meal. It's not the driver going out and running over their motorcycles. That's not what it is. This Greek word is actually used in different ways in their culture. And as we look at how that word is used, it begins to describe for us what meekness is. One of the Greek words for meek describes it as a gentle breeze. I want you to think about that concept. A gentle breeze. That's refreshing. A hurricane? Not so much. Powerful, destructive, brings discomfort. But in our lives, God has given us emotions. He has given us passion for things, hopefully the right things, when they're under His control. And when they are put into place, they are effective and helpful. But if they're out of control, if it's wild like a hurricane, what happens? They will destroy us and others around us. When I think of a gentle breeze, I often think about the time I go out for my worship walk, and usually the time I do that is in the hottest part of the day. It's usually in the 12 o'clock to 3 o'clock range, somewhere in there. And when I'm out there and it's hot and there's no breeze, man, I'm sweating. And then occasionally there are a couple of places on my walk where it's a little elevated and there's more wind blowing through. And when I get there, oh, I just love that spot because the gentle breeze takes the heat away and brings refreshment. And that's what the life of meekness will do. It will bring refreshment. And also, the word is used to describe a soothing medicine. The word meekness in the Greek language. A proper amount of medication will help somebody feel better, hopefully heal up along the way. But if there's an overdose or an improper use, it can actually harm or kill a person. So again, the key is the right dose and that it's soothing. And that's what meekness needs to produce in us. I think the best way this Greek word is used that's a wonderful illustration of meekness is it's used to describe the taming of a wild animal. So think about a wild horse. A wild horse, strong, beautiful, powerful, but what? Wild. And it just runs crazy along the way. So that wild stallion needs to be broken before it becomes effective and efficient. We too must be spiritually broken when we come to Christ, so that we can be rebuilt, remodeled, and shaped into the image of Christ. And we can harness that strength, the spiritual strength that God gives us, and it can be reflected and used at the right time in the right way. So let's look at the different qualities of spiritual meekness. And as we do that, let's pray during this time and say, Holy Spirit, speak to me about something that needs to be focused on. Is this something that I need to turn towards, to yield to, so that I can be the spiritually meek person that you want me to be. So here are the qualities. One, and each of these, I'm going to use a biblical example to illustrate this principle. One of them, the first one, let's call it servant leadership. That's what meekness is. It's leadership, but it's reflected by servant leadership. We see an interesting story happening in Genesis 12 and 13 between two family members. Their names, Abraham, you know that name. One that's less known is Lot, L-O-T. Lot is Abraham's nephew. So he's a younger generation. Abraham, we know that God used him to bring the Abrahamic covenant into our lives. You see, the Great Commission doesn't start in the New Testament. In Matthew 28, we often talk about that. It goes all the way back to Genesis 12, when God asked Abraham to be a blessing to others, to all people groups, to all nations. And what's happening in Abraham and Lot's lives? Their family members are growing. They're also raising herds of animals, and those herds are growing. And what's interesting is those numbers begin to create a problem because Abraham and Lot are both overlapping in their animals, their herds. And so they need to separate so they can take care of their own and make sure everything is going well. Now, what would be the logical thing? The logical thing would be for Abraham to say, hey, younger nephew of mine, Lot, this is my spot. You need to go off somewhere else and choose a different location. That would have been the logical thing to do along the way. But that doesn't happen. Abraham is the one who moves away from where Lot is and gives Lot that territory for his family and for his herds along the way. He goes another direction. He gives Lot the first choice. Servant leadership on Abraham's role as the uncle of Lot. Great servant leadership. We, as meek followers of Jesus Christ, need to serve others and look out for their best interests first. A second quality of meekness is generosity. Meekness is generous. And who would have dreamed that this moment would have occurred? Joseph, who had been betrayed by his brothers and thrown into jail, crosses paths with his brothers again. If you had been Joseph and your family members had lied about you, betrayed you, and thrown you into jail, and you cross paths with them again, they had sold you into slavery, how would you respond? This would have been a great movie for revenge, wouldn't it? I'm going to get these dudes back, man. I'm going to pay them back for what they did for me. Everybody would have expected Joseph to do that. And nobody would have blamed him if he had, and if he had taken them and had them thrown into prison so they would experience what he had gone through. Instead, he is incredibly generous to those who betrayed him. I want you to listen to Genesis chapter 45, verses 14 and 15. It shows his generous response. What did he do? Then he, that's Joseph, threw his arms around his brother Benjamin and wept. And Benjamin embraced him, weeping also, crying. And he, that's Joseph, kissed all his brothers and wept over them. Afterwards, his brothers talked with him, a reuniting of those broken relationships along the way. And what has Joseph done? Showed incredible meekness. in the form of generosity, in spite of all the pain that he had gone through along the way. It challenges us, doesn't it, to treat others that same way. Another quality or byproduct of meekness is to be grace-oriented. And we've seen that already in the two examples that I've shared with you from the Old Testament. So if someone had attacked you along the way, how would you respond to them? How would you treat them? King David is going through this experience. He and his son Absalom have become enemies. That's a sad story, isn't it? A father and son who are enemies. And David's military leader sees all this going on. And what does he basically say to David? Hey, David, King David, just let me have a shot at Absalom. No one should ever treat the king like he is treating you. And then what happens? It doesn't end there. Another guy comes along named Shimei. And what does he do? He taunts the king like some immature individual would be doing. We see that happening in the book of 2 Samuel. It's in chapter 16, verses 13 and 14. Look at these verses. So David and his men continued along the road while Shimei was going along the hillside opposite him, cursing as he went and throwing stones at King David and showering him with dirt. The king and all the people with him arrived at their destination exhausted. And then it says, and there he, that's King David, refreshed himself. What is Abishai doing? He said, hey, just let me know, King David, and I'll go over there and cut that dude's head off. I'll kill Shimei. And David could have just said, yeah, go ahead and take care of that. And he would have done it. But how does David respond? He shows restraint. He shows meekness. And he shows grace by refusing to seek revenge at those people who had hurt him, who had reached out and attacked him verbally along the way and relationally. And what happens when he responds that way? We read about it. David is refreshed. You see, when we follow God's principles, when we seek those things that are so opposite the culture of our world, the result is we will experience spiritual refreshment. We will grow. We will be glad that we took steps like that. That's what happens when we show God's grace. And something else about this quality of meekness that I want you to understand, this is the fourth quality. Meekness is courageous. As I mentioned earlier, it's not being a wimp. It's using God's strength and his power in the right way. In Numbers chapter 12, verse 3, a description is made of the man Moses. And notice what it says here. Now, Moses was a very humble man. Remember the synonym of meekness, humility? Moses was a very humble man. And look at the next phrase. More humble than anyone else on the face of the earth. Wow. What an incredible compliment is made of him. Carrying that characteristic with him. God is recruiting Moses for a leadership goal. He wants him to be his leader. And here's what Moses says. Hey, others could do a lot better job than me, God. He's humble along the way. That's what he says to God. But then he says, yes, I'll serve. I'll do whatever you ask me to do. And Moses comes in person before the man who would be the most powerful person on the earth at that time, the Pharaoh. Moses is there with the Pharaoh, and here is what Moses says to him. Remember? He's the most humble man on the face of the earth. But here's what he says to the Pharaoh. God says you are to let his people go. Strength, isn't it? Meekness that reflects itself in strength. This is a very courageous statement for him to make along the way. He's asking the Pharaoh to give up all that free labor, all those people that he was going to force to work for him for nothing. But he comes to him and says what God has asked him to say, let his people go. Today, there are so many Christians around our world who are showing courage. I love hearing about their examples, especially believers that are in minority areas. Even today, I received a WhatsApp message from my teammate that I worked with in Nepal. He's 24 years old. And he sent me a message saying, I'm getting ready to go to the western part of Nepal. I'm going to go there and I'm going to preach the gospel and I'm going to share Christ with others. He said, there are no Christians in western Nepal. There are no churches there. Does that stop him from being courageous? And if you were to talk to this man, he's a very meek young man. But he's carrying with him the courage of the gospel. I began to think about a man named Ahmad. He grew up as a Muslim. He became a very respected Muslim leader. He lived in a country that practiced Sharia law. Sharia law says you cannot leave Islam for any other faith. It's illegal to do that. And you'll be imprisoned if you do that. This man, Ahmad, was a great teacher. He had served in the military. He had received high status there along the way, a brilliant scholar. And he began to work on his doctorate degree. And his doctorate degree was in comparative religions. And so in that time, he was learning about others. And one of them he checked out was Christianity. And to learn about it, he didn't just listen to what others said or wrote. He read the New Testament to find out what was going on there. He was so moved by the truth of the New Testament that he gave his life to Jesus Christ. And he left Islam. And when somebody found out about that in the government's office, they invited him to come in for questioning. And again, he's in a Sharia law country. They ask him, did you leave Islam? Did you become a Christian? He said, yes, I am a Christian now. At that moment, he was arrested. He was tied up in chains. And he was taken to a solitary jail cell where he was placed. He had not even gone to court yet. And that's what they did. That night, some of the authorities decided that they were going to kill him, even before he went to court. So the guards grabbed him, took him out to a vehicle. They were going to take him to a location, and they were going to kill him. But the car had no gas in it, and they could not find gas to drive the car anywhere. Isn't that an amazing miracle? The next day, he goes into the Islamic High Court. And one of his friends was actually a lawyer in that setting. When the lawyer found out what had happened with Ahmad, he came up to him and said, let me recommend this for you. When you go in and they ask you, have you become a Christian? Tell them, no, I haven't. And then just live as a secret Christian. And they won't know about it. And he said to his friend, the lawyer, Jesus is my only defense. I cannot deny him. Is that amazing courage? So he goes to court, found guilty, was sentenced to 6 months in prison. And then he was stripped of his military rank. He was fired from his teaching position that he had. His wife divorced him. took all four of their children with her away from him, took his car, his house, and his banking account. Everything that he had, gone. And as the judges sent him to prison, they said, if you don't recant and return to Islam, we're going to sentence you to 6 more months in prison after your first 6 months that you're going to be serving. Think about all that he's faced. And then he's in prison. How discouraging that would have been for almost every person. What did he do? He started Bible study groups and prayer groups in prison for the gospel of Jesus Christ. In 3 months, there were 300 conversions to Christ in prison that Ahmad led to faith in Christ because of the courage that he showed there along the way. The guards saw what he was doing. They heard about what he was doing. And so one night, they were told by the authorities, the guards, to throw him into a vehicle, to take him to a river, and to drown him in the river, to kill him there. They grab him, they put him into the vehicle, they drive towards that river. Halfway there, the vehicle stopped and would not go again. Remember the first one? Couldn't find gas. The second one, it stops before getting there. The guards were terrified and they refused to kill Ahmad. Soon after that, he was released from prison. I have no idea where he is now, what he is doing, but I can't wait to cross paths with him in heaven to tell him that not only did that story inspire me, but I have shared that with others who were moved by your courage shown in the meekness of the gospel. Here is something we need to hear about meek people. A meek person does not scramble to defend himself, but always to defend God. That's the courage that we're invited to take with us wherever we're going. And here's what we need to know about meekness. When you and I choose this lifestyle of the Beatitudes, there are going to be benefits. And there are benefits of the spiritually meek quality that we see here in Matthew chapter 5. What are these benefits? The first one is we are teachable when we show meekness. And when that happens, we are going to grow. Listen to James chapter 1, verse 21. It says, therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. A meek person is a teachable person. A teachable person will grow and become spiritually stronger along the way. Remember, meekness is not being a wimp. It is being spiritually strong. Pride, on the other hand, that will keep us from being our best in Christ. But meekness will do the opposite. Another benefit of meekness is contentment. You will experience God's peace and you'll be content. What does that mean? You'll be satisfied with where you're heading. You'll be pleased at the changes that God is making in your life as you yield to this. Listen to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 10. In that verse, we read this: sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. Poor, yet making many rich. Having nothing, and yet possessing everything. You see, when we experience the meekness of the Holy Spirit, we will be content in the sovereignty of God, in what we have in our lives today. the possessions we have, the things that we have, the allotment he has turned over to us. We won't be greedy. We won't be jealous about what others have. We will experience contentment. We'll live this way. God is on his throne, and everything is okay. It's well. A third benefit of meekness is that you and I can be more effective in our outreach of the gospel of Jesus Christ in evangelism. What's your model for reaching out and sharing Jesus with others? Is it sitting down with them, looking angry as you talk about sin, about people who need to turn or burn? What's our attitude and spirit towards the lost? Is it arrogant? Is it self-righteous? Notice what Peter says to us in 1 Peter 3, verse 15. In the second part of that verse, it says, "But in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have." Always be prepared. Always be ready. But notice this next sentence. "But do this with gentleness and respect." The way we communicate the gospel is very important. It shouldn't come across looking angry or arrogant. Instead, it should be meekness. Are you open to sitting down face to face with somebody, or with a couple, or with a family, or with friends, one or more people, and to share Christ with them? Have you done that? If not, would you be open to it along the way? And as you share with meekness and humility. Whenever I'm sharing the gospel, I always try to emphasize to people, because many times if they find out I'm a pastor, they think I'm in this certain league over here. I tell them, you know what? God's still working on me. I'm not where I need to be yet, but little by little, he's changing my life. There's nothing like it. It's the best. Evangelism is a hungry person helping another person find the bread of life. Someone who's thirsty spiritually, helping someone else find that they can find their fulfillment and they can be enriched in a relationship with Jesus Christ. And when we speak about relationships, that's another one of the great benefits of the spiritual quality of meekness. When we are meek, we are going to have stronger relationships with other people along the way. A friend, a spouse, a parent, a child, a grandchild, a great grandparent, whatever role you have, a fellow worker along the way. If you and I are showing this quality of meekness, it's going to help us have stronger relationships with others. Most of the time when there are problems in the relationships, it happens because somebody gets angry or gets frustrated and they blow up and they're negative and critical along the way. They feel like they've lost control and they want to grab it and be under control for themselves. Something is said or done to hurt another person, and the relationship gets damaged. But when we are showing meekness, we can become a great friend. We can become a great marriage partner, a great grandparent, a great child, a great coworker, you name it. Along the way, those relationships become stronger. So look at this list of meekness benefits. The byproduct of being a person who is spiritually meek. Here they are. Teachable. Contentment. Effective outreach to others. as well as strong, growing relationships. And on top of that, here's something else that we see in this beatitude. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. What does that mean? That means God wants us to join Him in ruling the world, in leading the world in the right direction. There's a reward. We can lead right now while we're here on this planet. When you and I accept Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord, and we choose to follow Him, we have the privilege of joining God in dominion over the earth, right here and right now. God gave it to Adam all the way back in the Garden of Eden. He wanted him to do that. And you and I can join him in that. Paul reminds us about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning in verse 21. We read these words, "All things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or the present or the future, all are yours." God has given us the opportunity, if we will follow His principles, to join Him in making an impact on this planet. God has given us the opportunity to lead right here where we're living right now. In a real sense, the meek have already inherited the earth. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Why has that happened? They've learned the secret of contentment in any and all circumstances. And when we are content, we are leading by example. And when that happens, it can impact the people on this planet. And we'll also be able to lead later, here and later. 2 Timothy chapter 2, in verse 12, the first part of that verse says, "If we endure, we will also reign with Him." And that word reign is not like rain outside. It's R-E-I-G-N. We will reign. We will rule with Him. One day, there's going to be the rapture of all believers. Then there's going to be that period of tribulation, the 7 years. And then there is going to be the millennial reign, the 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ. And during that time, we can join Him in the assignments that He'll give us during that time. And here's something we need to understand about meekness. I hope it's a quality now that, as you have heard the biblical description of it, that you want to pursue it, that you'll ask God to help you be spiritually meek. But here's the great news about it. We don't produce it in our lives. We don't have the power to make ourselves meek. Meekness is a spiritual byproduct of a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. As we make commitments to grow in Him and to be close to Him along the way and to be like Him, the pictures that we see in the gospel, think about what Jesus did when He went into Jerusalem. How did He get there? He rode on the back of a donkey, which would have been the most humiliating thing in their culture for a king to do. But that didn't bother Jesus. He was symbolizing for us the life that we need to have as well. And what did He do when He got there? He humbled Himself. He could have stopped all the beatings that He received. He could have countered all the lies that people said about Him when they were accusing Him along the way. When they began to prepare Him to be crucified on the cross, He could have stopped it, but He didn't. He humbled Himself and died a criminal's death on the cross. And He didn't strike back at those who were hurting Him. Amazing meekness that Jesus, our Savior, did for us. I hope you're moved by that. I hope you're humbled by that. And I hope you're also inspired by His example. And that you'll say, "Lord, I want to be like Jesus was. Help me to be spiritually meek. We'll close with this scripture from Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30. Jesus is inviting us into this incredible relationship. He says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me." Notice what he says, "For I am gentle and humble in heart." Is he bragging? No. He's just trying to lay out the example for us to follow. "For I am gentle and humble in heart." And if we follow him and do these, it says, "And you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." He says, "Come to me." Let's do that.